Property the cash flow killer. Why are people doing it? We'll talk about it in just 2 seconds.
Good morning.
How are you, everyone? Happy Monday. Happy Monday, Billy Bob.
Good morning. Looks like you're in a golf outfit.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got the local agent finder golf corporate day. And going to listen to Tom Panos talk today. And wish me luck.
Good luck for someone who's never played golf in a golf competition.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit embarrassing. Lisa says she doesn't know if she can play golf or not because she's never tried.
Today's the day.
She may be really good at it.
Yeah, maybe. Good luck.
Good weekend, Billy Bob?
Yeah, really good. I thought this was interesting, actually. I was chatting to a friend about cash flow. Cash flow on Saturday. And it was interesting. Two lads sitting around the table really, really like their stocks and shares and do a bit of trading on the side of their normal day-to-day jobs. And I was chatting about property and they say, how do you buy a property when you lose money every week? Surely an investment.
Yeah. And particularly with it's particularly clear when you see these interest rates at, you know, going from 2.5% up to sort of 6.5%. So it's happening three times at a higher rate. You know what? Something to be discussed. My daughter pulled me up the other day and I said, look, if you're going to be buying a property, which she is, I said, you probably want to know if you can afford it. And she sort of just looked at me. I was like, isn't that just like, and she's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you probably want to write down, you know, how much rent, how much rent's going to be, strata per quarter, rent per quarter, water per quarter, council rates per quarter, maintenance repairs. And she's like, what, I have to pay that all the time? And I'm just thinking, like, we often think, I think, as an industry or as people, like, you know, yeah, of course, but a lot of people out there just don't have any exposure to, you know, what are going to be the bills, how much are the bills going to be, what does that look like? So we just wanted to take you through this morning and just to simulate just a bit of a dry run on a one or two or whatever bedroom unit. So, you know, she went from a budget of, she's even been speaking with the broker and two-thirds through, three-quarters through her loan process, but still hasn't actually stopped and said, okay, what are the repayments going to be and what does that look like over the course of a month or a course of a year? Different to you, Billy. You were straight through your numbers on your first property straight away, but I would like to suggest that most people aren't.
I think even if you do the numbers, though, it's great. You know what you're getting yourself in for, but you don't actually realize how expensive it is until it comes out of the bank account every quarter, every 3 months. There's 12 sets of bills a year in excess to your mortgage you've got to worry about. So it does add up. And being the, you know, a cost to a property provider or an investor these days is, you know, it is a lot. And then you've got a person to look after and to maintain the property in the best way possible. So yeah, it's interesting. And when you look at that on a spreadsheet, the data we've got here is a little bit old, but 54% of investors in the 2019 to 2020 financial year, 54% came in at a loss. And that was the smallest it had been in two decades. So I'd hate to think what it is now, 3-4 years down the track, and we've actually got rates even more expensive.
Oh, look, I literally saw the trauma when my daughter went through those figures And she was like, well, what am I going to do it for? And what's really interesting is I flipped it on the other side. And I said, have a look at the cost of not doing it.
Okay, and what did that look like?
And she said, so I'm going to lose money every year for what? For what? And I said, well, you're going to do it for, you'd like to hope that it's done what its property has done the last 20, 50, 100 years. And she said, well, so what's it done? I said, it's doubled every 10 years. And she's like, and I was like, well, what does that mean? If you buy something for 600,000, I was saying to her, it's going to be 1.2. It's going to be going up 60 to 65 grand per year. I said, I don't think you can afford not to do it. So you may be bleeding. And that's what, if you've just tuned in, that's what we're talking about today. The cash flow on property bleeding you dry, you know, throughout months and years. But what I said to her is, let's add up how much money you've earned over the last 5 years of working.
Yep.
And she actually, and that's an easy figure. You go, okay, I earned this much this year, that much last year, that much the year before. I said, add it all up. She added it all up, and she was like, whoa, like that's a shit ton of money. And I said, yeah, well, when you're not paying rent, well, you know, you basically should have saved a good portion of that. Where is it? She said, I saved some. Fraction she saved, I said, okay, now let's multiply that out the next 5 years. How much are you going to have then? Now, if someone's earning, as a working example, if someone's earning 7 to 80,000, that's 800K over a 10-year period. And I said, and I said to her, look, if you buy the property, at least you're going to have another 600,000 in your pocket along the way, so you lose a little bit in your cash flow, but you have a big lump sum.
But it's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people that they don't see anything for that hard work. You can't actually touch that big pot of money until you really, you know, liquidate the asset, until you sell it or until you refinance it and move into another property. So
there's a lot of
short-term pain for long-term gain, but as an investor,
it's exactly what it is.
In the mindset that I purely put my money where it's going to grow and come back to me in short term. And, you know, there's two very different sort of approaches there. What's interesting is, why would an investor do it? What does a negatively geared property look like at the end of a financial year to a lot of people?
It's all loss, isn't it? You know, you're losing money to keep this property. You're losing income that you've made to keep this property. In the hope that it does have capital growth. You know, effectively, it's all about capital growth, you know, buying these properties, you know, particularly in our area of Sydney or in Sydney. There are other, you know, regional areas or, you know, Perth or whatever that, you know, that have a better return where you're not bleeding per month or per year as much. But traditionally, the more you bleed, the better the capital growth. So a lot of the capital cities have a lower rate of return per month and per year, but a higher rate of return for the value of the property going up, the capital growth. So watch out, because people often choose to bleed less and they buy in a shit suburb and the capital growth is not there in a shit suburb.
Yeah, okay. And do you find people ever buy property just to minimize their income on a tax return?
Absolutely. The amount of people that I would have come to me, what's Luke got to say? Short-term pain builds character. Sure does. The perfect amount, I've got a good saying, the perfect amount of pain bakes good people.
Wow.
the perfect amount of suffering bakes good people. Not too much, but not enough. But look, I often get clients that'll turn around and say, my accountant said, so what did your accountant say? My accountant said, I've got to buy a property to get my gearing going. I'm paying too much to the tax man.
Yep. And then you can look at that and set it up, you know, in different ways. So interesting topic.
It is. So, guys, keep the faith. This is probably the hardest time for people with investment properties. They have a cloudy view on capital growth. Is it, you know, how much possibly more can it be? And they have a cloudy view because they're bleeding cash flow. Interest rates are so high, it's hard to hold that asset. But keep the faith. Rents are pumping. Great capital growth is around the corner, and I will bet my hat that every 10 years, if you buy in a great suburb in Sydney, or great suburbs in Sydney, that your capital growth will continue to be about 8 to 10% a year, double every 10 years. It does change. Sometimes it's double every 7 years, sometimes it's double every 12 years, but that's the average. Keep the faith.
When was the last time you saw this environment? People sort of on the fence, some doubters.
Recession, GFC, COVID.
COVID, okay.
You see that fear of people going, oh shit, oh shit. And then you see people double down, grit their teeth and just mow through it and do really, really well. So, I'm not seeing that intensity at the moment, economically, but certainly cash flow wise, you know, it's triple the amount people are cash flowing from what they're worth they were, but everyone's got a very short memory. You know, we're sitting, the rates are just tucked a little bit higher than where they normally have been historically all the time. So should be starting to get, you know, used to a little bit.
Yeah, back to normal. There you go. Have a good day. Yeah. Enjoy the golf.
Boom. See everyone. Have a good one. Any questions or any topics you want us to cover, just let us know. And that's how we generate some of our stories, what people want us to talk about. So thank you, and keep messaging us on what topics you want us to chat about. Thanks, Billy Bob.
See ya. Have a good day.
See ya. Bye.